Resources Committee meeting to order. Now, a little after 1 p.m., we'll call it 1 p.m. by the committee, by the committee schedule, but it's 1:20. Members present with today are Representative Dyson, Representative Williams, Vice Chair Masick, Co-Chair Scott Ogan, and myself, Co-Chair Bill Hudson. We have a quorum. Today we are going to pick up House Bill 182 first. The prime sponsor is Representative Bill Williams, and we'll ask Bill to give us a presentation on that bill. It's, the chair would like to deal with House Bill 182 and 310 in as concise a manner as possible so that we can get to those people that have come here to give us the overview on the Exxon Valdez oil spill, current situation and status, and we should have people here to deal with that. So with that, Representative Williams, if you would, for the record, give us an introduction to House Bill 182, whatever you'd like to say, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Can I do that from here?
Yes.
Thank you. I introduced House Bill 182 to further strengthen the state forestry program. We already have one of the toughest forest practices act in the nation. If there's legislation, in fact, there's legislation introduced by the Speaker and the President of the Senate to make the Forest Practices Act even stronger. House Bill 182 follows a trend to make the Alaska forestry program the best in the country. The bill requires the head of the Division of Forestry to have a bachelor's degree or higher from a program accredited by the Society of American Foresters and 3 years of field experience. With the decrease in the federal timber available, our state forests become even more important. It is necessary to have a professional leading a division where approximately 70% of the employees are either professional foresters or forestry technicians. The bill also gives the Fire Chief Association a formal opportunity to provide input during the state forestry hiring process. Mr. Chairman, I urge support, and if we can move this bill out today, I'd appreciate it. Thank you.
Chairman?
Yes, please. Identify yourself.
This is Joe Green. I'm up in Anchorage.
Thank you, Representative. We'll go ahead and count you as present here. And did you wish to speak on this bill at all, or you want to just listen in?
Well, are we in the question period?
Hold on just for a second, Joe. Let me just see if we have anybody else. I don't have the... Did anybody sign up? Anybody in the audience that cares to testify on this bill?
I signed up.
You did? Okay, hold on for a minute, please. We'll get the sign-up sheet here. Go ahead and come up forward, sir. Take a seat. Give us your name.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name's Tom Boutin. I live here in Juneau. First moved to Alaska in 1973 when I was 23 years old. I'm sure not here to say anything too bad here. The sponsor, Representative Williams, has done more for good forest management than perhaps all the foresters working in Alaska today. I just have one problem with the bill, and I'll speak to that. I do think it's an excellent idea to consult with the Fire Chiefs Association for the selection of a state forester and perhaps for some of the other issues that come before the Division of Forestry. The problem I have with the bill is that there's a deputy state forester, a lady who's been deputy state forester for the past 8 years. She's been acting state forester at least twice under at least two different administrations. She's very well qualified. However, she grew up in Nome. She's a contemporary of Representative Foster. They grew up in Nome together. And won a lot of forestry in Nome, and she went to the University of Alaska Fairbanks. Her degree is in geology. And Even though she's been a public land manager with Division of Land for many years and as I said, has been deputy state forester for at least 8 years, she's been in charge of the state's fire suppression program for perhaps the whole 8 years, but at least 6 years that I know of. And this bill would eliminate her from potential candidacy to be state forester at any time in the future. You know, when you've been out of school for decades, as many of us have been, my degree is in forestry, and I have a master's degree in finance, it's kind of more what you've learned along the way than how your degree might read. So I do have that one concern about this bill, Representative Williams asked me to be succinct. That's as succinct as I get. I'd be glad to answer any questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Representative Williams, would you wish like to find questions on this particular?
Tom and I have been talking over the past few days on this. I think I understand where he's going, and if there was a way that I could fix it for Dean, I would, but I think this is good for the state. Thank you.
Any other questions of the witness? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Madam Vice Chair.
Thank you. Through the Chair, Representative Williams, has there really been a problem as far as, you know, how forestry is being run, and what was your reasoning for the bill? I mean, has there been any real problems in the past with the management of forestry?
Madam Vice Chair, can I ask if we hold that just for a minute until I've got two or three other people, and then
sure.
Go ahead and ask that question. So if you kind of keep it in
okay.
mind, that way we'll kind of get some of the people that are come here to testify.
Thank
if you don't mind, I appreciate that. Right. Then Jeff. Jahnke?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Jeff Jahnke, and I'm currently the director of the Division of Forestry in the state forester as of July 7th. I'm here testifying on behalf of the Department of Natural Resources. We generally support the intent of this legislation. I think it's important that Alaska fire chiefs have some input into the selection of state forester because they are a major cooperator of state forestry activities. We do believe that the language regarding qualifications is a bit more restrictive than necessary. We think that we would recommend that the language refer to the definition of a professional forester as defined by the Society of American Foresters rather than graduation from a SAF-certified institution. My role as state forester is also as a presiding officer at the Board of Forestry. In April of 1997, the board looked at this legislation, unanimously agreed that on including Alaska fire chiefs as part of the selection process, and failed to support the requirement of bachelor's degree and field experience. They voted by 5 votes. They voted against that. So, thanks for the opportunity to testify, and I'd be available for questions at the appropriate time.
Questions of the witness.
I've been in contact with the office, and I think we've made arrangements and with the commissioner. And agreed with his changes. We agreed with the changes that were in the bill today.
All right. Other questions? Representative Green, you're on the line. If there's any time you need to ask a question of the witness or something like that, please feel free to just interrupt us.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. My question is to the sponsor.
Okay, we'll go ahead through the next witness. Wayne Nichols, those are the three that I have signed up here. If there's any others, they should make sure they let us know. Good afternoon, Wayne. Nice
good afternoon.
You.
You're looking good.
Thank you. How are you?
Thank you. For the same reason, probably. My name is Wayne Nichols. I'm representing the Alaska Society of American Foresters, and my testimony is in the form of a fairly brief letter in response to Representative Williams' request. With your permission, I'll just read quickly through it. The Alaska Society of American Foresters believes, consistent with the National Society's position relative to federal natural resource management agencies, that Alaska's state resource management agencies should be led by professionals pertinent to the agency's responsibilities. As regards the Division of Forestry, we believe the state's best interests in behalf of professional scientific management of the state's forest resources are best served by a professional forester. Requirements for professional membership in the Society of American Foresters, SAF, should serve as a working definition for this purpose. They follow. A, must be a graduate of an SAF-accredited forestry curriculum or of a candidate curriculum for accreditation, or be a recipient of a graduate degree in forestry from an institution that has an SAF-accredited forestry curriculum or one that is a candidate for accreditation, or C, be a scientist or practitioner who holds a bachelor's or higher degree within the broad field of forestry based on a curriculum that is neither SAF accredited nor a candidate for accreditation and who has three or more years of qualifying experience within the broad field of forestry. The characteristics of natural resources are such that their most effective management should not be subject to frequent leadership and personnel turnover and policy shifts that preclude continuity. We support House Bill 182 to the extent that it would require a professional forester to fill the position of Director of the Division of Forestry, Department of Natural Resources, also called the State Forester. Thank you for the opportunity to comment on this important legislation. We are available to provide additional help in any way we can, and happy to answer any questions you or members of the committee may have.
And Nichols, for the record,
I'd offer Wayne. This and ask that copies be provided. Members.
Thank you very much, Wayne. For the record, Representative Barnes has joined us. And questions, sir?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. The bill says that a bachelor or higher degree in forestry-related program, there's bachelor's of arts, bachelor's of science. Bachelor of science is generally more of a probably a little more of a discipline than a BA. Do you feel that a BA would be qualified enough to be a state forester?
I guess it would have to depend on what it's in.
And, well, it says forestry-related program.
And I might add that these are the criteria directly out of the membership requirements for SAF, and I have to confess that they're broadly interpreted. The experience is the kind of the linchpin of that third category of membership. And I believe it says, just as I said, bachelor's doesn't specify science. Generally, it was intended originally, and in fact, I was chairman of the membership committee when this was drafted. It's generally intended to be a biological science, but it has not been restricted to that. In fact, I know of a member who I believe has a degree in theology, so it's quite a broad interpretation.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Representative Green.
On that same issue, if Representative Ogun is finished with his question.
Yes, I am.
Go ahead and proceed, sir.
The degree isn't specified, and one of the concerns I have about it is that would there be a sanctioned program that might be forestry related that might be like a forest environmentalism or environmentally sanctioned forest program that would pass the muster here?
Is the question directed to me?
Yes, please.
Either to you or to the sponsor, since we're on that question right now.
I would say so.
Okay, and the concern I have about that is, does that then potentially lead us into a position of not aggressively following what I think the sponsor would be in favor of is of wanting a forester who would promote a development of a renewable resource like our forests.
I don't think that would be precluded by that. I guess perhaps the breadth of forestry is not totally understood, and it can include a lot of things beyond timber management, for example. And so it's entirely possible there are people running around out there with forestry degrees that couldn't begin to administer a timber program. I think that comes in the screening of the applicants. These are basic requirements for qualification, and the experience and the applicant's resume would be the answer to that question. You need to find the people with the experience that that fit the needs. I might add there are 62 accredited forestry curricula last count that I knew, so there's a large pool of candidates out there. I might also add that I haven't known all the state foresters, but all of them that I know and all of them that I know of would have met these qualifications to date.
And if I might follow up, Mr. Chairman, are those 62, are they all accredited by the SAF?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Any further questions? Any questions of the sponsor on this issue? Thank you. All right. Thank you very much, Mr. Nichols, for your testimony. I have nobody else that's signed up. The chair would like to have a motion to adopt the committee substitute for House Member Way to the / B version.
So moved, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Representative Barnes. Any objections? Hearing none, this committee substitute is officially adopted. Mr. Co-Chairman,
would you entertain a motion to move the bill?
I have one other question before, if you do that, if I could.
Representative Green, please proceed, sir.
I'm sorry, Representative Ogden, wasn't sure it would go that fast. The on line 13, where it says at least 3 years of field experience, I would like to ask Representative Williams if, not being that familiar with the forest practice and the necessity of experience, is 3 years adequate?
Is 3 years adequate?
Mr. Williams, yes.
I believe so. I believe that this recommendation came from also from Alaska Society of American Foresters, and I think it would be sufficient.
Sounds good to me. Thank you.
No. All right. If there's no further questions on this bill, the chair would entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I move CS for House Bill Number 182 as. Number B, or LS0627B, with individual recommendations and fiscal note attached.
Any objections? Hearing none.
Ooh. Thank you, committee members.
Next, moving right on, I'd like to take up House Bill 310 by Representative Osterman, and we have with us Ms. Dougherty. Amy Dougherty is I call him Chief of Staff. I don't know whatever your current title is. Amy. If you would please, for the record,
Fishwoman Extraordinaire.
Yeah, right.
Thank you.
If you'd like to give us your name and sure. Your title and your and give us explain to us this bill.
Okay. I am Amy Dougherty. I work for Representative Alan Osterman and work for the Fisheries Committee. Thank you for the opportunity to present HB 310. HB 310 extends to other groundfish species the current ban in state law requiring the waste of pollock. It enables the Board of Fish to require processors to meet minimal standards for the utilization of other groundfish in addition to pollock, similar to the regulations adopted by the Secretary of Commerce for offshore processors. The legislation is necessary because current state law only prohibits waste of pollock and not other brown fish species, such as Pacific cod, which is already affected by the federal law, and rock sole and yellowfin sole, which will go into effect in 2003. you have in your packets, an excerpt from the Madison-Stevens Conservation Act, which talks about bycatch reduction. And the reason this was included is just to point out that bycatch reduction is a step-by-step process. This is the first step, and it looks like it's going to be visited every year for the next 4 years. It's on the bottom of the sheet, Magnuson. There's also Federal Register information. It's a lengthy background on how IRIU, increased retention and utilization, has been evolving and has been addressed by the North Pacific Fisheries Management Council. Essentially, there's concern that the catcher boat operators who are required by federal regulations to retain pollock and cod need the processors also to fall under regulations requiring them to take those products. So I have with me Jaron Bruce from Fish and Game, who's been involved in the committee process with this, and Rick Glauber, who of course is expert on council process and how this has evolved.
Questions of representatives of the prime sponsor. Amy, you'll stay with us, huh?
Sure.
Okay, fine. Slobber, Rick Glauber, if you'd join us, sir. Welcome to the committee, Rick.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee.
First time to actually confront her this section, huh?
I think so. I was at the Fish Committee a time or two, but working my way along. I'm sure we'll cover most of the bases before it's over. Certainly, you know, problems with all our bills are like this one. This legislation, as explained to...
For the record, please, Rick.
Yes, Rick Lauber. I guess today I'm here representing... the North Pacific Fishery Management Council, but I'm a vice president of the Pacific Seafood Processors Association, who is also involved in this. Was explained, the state of Alaska has had a retention program for pollock for many years, and this is an offshoot of the old full utilization row stripping ban on salmon and other products in Alaska. Alaska has a philosophy of banning wanton waste, and this is a continuation of that. The council has been attempting for a number of years to get the offshore factory trawler fleet to improve their utilization and retention, reduce their waste, and so forth. And we passed an amendment that was approved by the Secretary of Commerce that went in effect this year to require them to retain their pollock and cod and not discard or waste any pollock or cod. Year 2003, other species will come to play. This has not been a situation in Alaska onshore because we have... basically, we're fully utilizing all species that come on shore. So, and we have a statute on pollock. But to level the playing field, so everybody is playing by the same rules, the council and the state of Alaska agreed to bring to the legislature this type of statute. And the idea will be that as this moves along, the Board of Fish will pass appropriate regulations that will require fishermen and processors operating inside of 3 miles to comply basically with the same rules that apply offshore. So that's the oversimplification of where we are and why we're asking for this legislation.
Thank you. Thank you. Any questions of the...
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
All right. Thank you very much, Mr. Lauer. Jaron Bruce.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Jaron Bruce, representing the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. The department supports this legislation, and in the interest of time, I'll just be very brief in my comments, but I just want you to know that we did go through a process of working with industry and other interested parties in developing the approach that we're taking here in the state. There's been good industry participation and nearly unanimous support. And the reason for the need for this bill is that the current Pollock statute does not extend the authority to the Board of Fisheries to deal with Pacific cod and the other species that are scheduled to come online in the year 2003. So that was the reason for the legislation. I conclude my comments here and answer any questions.
Any questions of the witness? Representative Green, do you have any questions?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, and I'm not sure who to direct this question to, but I'm wondering, there must be a fairly significant waste going on now to specify ground fish. My concern is that if we're wasting ground fish and it's to the point that we need to bring in some legislation, aren't we roach stripping salmon and doing things like that? My question is, would there be any merit to just dropping the ground out of this and saying that this is an act to prevent waste of fish?
Would anybody like to, Jaron, do you?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I'll take a stab at it, and then Mr. Lauber will probably like to answer it. But through the chair to Representative Green, I think it needs to be approached on a species-by-species basis, because there are certain species, and the one that comes to mind is arrowtooth flounder, for which there is no known use. Hopefully, the one will be developed. Scientists are working on developing one. But if the bill was drafted as broadly as Representative Green suggested, fishermen processors would be required to retain that species as well, for which there is no commercial use or other use at this time.
Mr. Lauber?
Yeah, I think that's correct. As far as other species of fish, salmon and so forth, Alaska currently has a roe stripping ban, with the exception that the governor can, well, I guess, extreme or extraordinary circumstances, give permits to allow some flexibility in that. I believe there's a bill in the legislature that would terminate that flexibility, but by and large, Alaska has a pretty good record. This legislation is really only called for in order to conform the state law to the what's now the federal regulations. Really, this law passed will not change anything that is currently taking place in Alaska. The all of the pollock and codfish are being fully utilized that are brought to shore-based plants and other species as well as that's concerned. There is no discard of fish in the inshore component. There was in the offshore component, but that's beyond the jurisdiction of the state of Alaska. That's why that was handled through the federal government, through the North Pacific Council, and through the Secretary of Commerce, and that has been done for full retention for pollock and cod. In the year 2003, additional species will be included in that. But right now in Alaska, there, as general practice, whether this law passes or not, there will be no discard of species to any significant amount.
Okay, thank you. If I might, Mr. Chairman, then just a follow-up question. As far as bycatch, is there something in the mill right now dealing with, it seems to me there's something in the mill now dealing with bycatch?
I'm not certain. Amy, you're the,
well,
fish company.
I don't think there's another piece of legislation dealing with bycatch right now.
There is a Representative Green, there is a bill, I believe, by Ivan, Representative.
Oh, Ivan. Yeah, that has to do with salmon. That has to deal with salmon 310.
Roll stripping. But I don't think I've seen any other legislation dealing with bycatch.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions? That's the, well, I do have one more witness to testify, and that's Chris Blackburn in Kodiak. Would you like to testify on House Bill 310, Chris?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, and I appreciate your noticing me. I live in Kodiak and was part of the group in the council that helped develop this improved retention, improved utilization regime. We all felt that all vessels, whether at sea or on shore, should learn to use what they catch and the processors to process it. Kodiak has been, I think, 110% supportive of this and is very eager that the state of Alaska, which I think is a leader in conservation measures, also make sure that this applies to state waters and state fisheries. As Mr. Lauber has said, we don't have a discard problem, nor do we want to have one in the future. I would also note that because of this measure, there are factor trawlers in the Bering Sea now who are making extraordinary efforts to try to stay out of Pacific cod, which actually means more cod for those who are going to use it. And appreciate your time.
Thank you very much, Chris. Anyone else that wishes to testify? Representative Osterman, we've pretty much exhausted everyone who wanted to testify on this thing.
Want to move it, Mr. Chairman?
Yes, I would.
Well, let's get on with it then.
All right.
Chairman, I'll move House Bill 310 from the committee with individual recommendations.
Zero fiscal note, I believe.
Wanting zero fiscal note.
And is there any objections to moving this out into the recommendation? Hearing none. Gone.
Oh, wait, I was going to object. You didn't give me time.
Okay, we're going to take a brief at ease, just a brief at ease, till we can bring then